Be seated, please. Restoration. We know something about that at Epiphany, don't we? I mean, not every parish, large or small, has a restoration committee. But then, not every parish has survived lightning, pestilence, and flood in its immediate past. I'd put our restoration committee up against anybody's anywhere. Originally, I was just going to repeat that word from the colleague, restore, but then those free associations came to mind unbidden about what we're going through. They might have some bearing on the topic as we go along. We'll see. I can't remember, really. That verb, restore, seemed to call out to me as I read today's collect for the umpteenth time. It appears to me this time around to be the thread running through today's readings. God's will, according to that prayer and to these readings, is to restore us and all creation to the order and state that God originally intended and created. Can we agree here and now that we are the weak and injured, the lost and strayed? Unless someone here sees us as Ezekiel's fat and strong. Okay. There's room for a sermon there as well, based on our currently being among the few fat and strong nations of the world when so many are the weak and exploited. But we'll just put a bookmark in that and save it for another sermon, one which I may very well never preach. But there is something that came up in the Bible study about the strong helping the weak so that those extremes come closer together in the middle as God intends us to care for each other. That's the sermon I'm not preaching today. The truth is, I see all humans described in this passage from Ezekiel's prophecy. All of us, some of the time, are the lost and strayed, the injured and weak. Or maybe I'm alone in these feelings of lostness that crop up from time to time. But based on my experiences and conversations with others, among them some of you, I don't think I have a monopoly on those feelings. For the past week and a half, I've been involved in a case of lostness and straying concerning a friend and former parishioner from Mexico. He suffers from dementia. That's a recent development. And wound up in Houston, despite having intended to go to San Antonio, wandering the streets without passport, identification, or money to speak of after having spent it on transportation and food. It's a long saga in which our son Ben, his wife, her mother, the current rector of St. Paul's, others from St. Paul's, social workers, court officials, and nurses have played significant roles. It's on the brink of being resolved. At every step along the way, and certainly those that remain, there is evidence in my mind of Ezekiel's description of the Lord God as shepherd, acting through those folks. I imagine that some of the people involved are not particularly religious, perhaps not at all religious, and I know that some are. I've had conversations with many of them. God's shepherding, however, doesn't depend on someone's religious credentials or even on what they personally believe. We believers can see that God's shepherding transcends all of that. Just as the Son of Man in Jesus' parable doesn't get bogged down with details of who thinks or believes what, but in who does what for whom. My friend will be restored to his place in San Miguel by God's grace as it is mediated in many people's actions. You and I are not roaming the streets disoriented at this moment. But once again, I would submit that every single one of us knows what it feels like to be lost. The fat and strong in Ezekiel, the goats in the parable, their fate doesn't concern me. Frankly, I think even the fat, strong bullies in this world are also lost and weak, at least from time to time. And most important, I believe, it's not up to me, it's not up to us to make that judgment. Thank God it's up to God. Who, from all accounts, as Jesus reveals God in his three-year ministry, is much more compassionate in making that judgment than even the most tender-hearted among us. This is not an attempt at Christian Pollyannaism on my part, skipping over the dire doom and gloom parts of these readings. I'm simply being realistic, in my view, about which parts of these texts pertain to us and which pertain to God. By pertain to us, I mean both as we consider our own lives and actions, being ready to feed, clothe, and house our marginalized brothers and sisters, and as we see all our brothers and sisters in the same kind of dilemmas we face. It's not about checking off boxes of good deeds, like earning spiritual merit badges, but about believing that God truly loves us, wants us to be fed and comforted, to have our wounds bound up and dressed, and be restored to the divine image in which we were created. Here's an observation from Greg Carey, professor at Lancaster Theological Seminary in Pennsylvania. He says, "The goats and sheep alike are surprised in this parable. The goats didn't know they were goats. Same for the sheep. These weren't conscious actions in the usual way of thinking about caring for others. The goats had been callous, even oblivious to the suffering of their fellow humans who were hungry, thirsty, alienated, naked, sick, and imprisoned. On the other hand, the sheep must have known they were doing these things for others, but they had no idea that they were doing that by doing them, they were worshiping and serving God in the most basic understanding of those terms. The essential difference might be that those who acted as servants of God did so out of gratitude for God's unyielding love for them, not being deterred by occasional feelings of their own vulnerability and lostness. They weren't trying to earn anything. Restoration. It occurs to me that God's will to restore us and all of creation to that initial perfection includes our giving ourselves over to a profound trust in God's all-encompassing love and grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.